Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, with regards to grieving the Holy Spirit of God. The theme of chapter 4 is that the Lord our God is going to make changes within us just because of the relationship that we have with Him and how that is developed and how we experience Him and grow to know Him over time as we mature in the faith. Now, of course, Paul describes the fundamentals of the faith in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, and I've already spoken about these things. So after chapters 1 through 3, in light of what he described in chapters 1 through 3, we should expect there to be some changes to happen within us, and there will be opportunities to discover these changes as we are living our lives and when we are confronted with the circumstances of life, circumstances that we're normally accustomed to, maybe some new ones. But it's as we live our lives and we are faced with different choices and decisions in our lives, it's then that there will be an opportunity for us to respond to the circumstances of life differently. And what I've been explaining in the previous programs related to chapter 4 is that the Lord will make changes within us such that we will feel inspired to respond in a different way than we normally would, and that we are not to resist that inspiration. So as the Lord relates to you and you are changed and transformed through the relationship that you have with Him, then relate to the world differently, as these changes seem to have influence and application in the life that you have. But of course, the focus that we need to maintain is on our God. We must keep our focus on what He has done for us and not get distracted by what we think we might be able to do for Him. Instead of being occupied with the temptations of sin, stay occupied with Him meeting the deepest needs of your heart, because as He does that, you will find it much easier to say no to the temptations of sin, because the temptations of sin are reaching out to those parts within us that, of course, only God can fulfill, and so allow Him to fulfill the deepest needs of our hearts. And these things will begin to transpire. They will begin to happen as a side effect or as a consequence of what's going on between you and your God. So as these situations come about, it's then that you have an opportunity to respond differently. All right, now I'm going to move forward into verse 31. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, he says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." All right, and I'm going to pause there because verse 32 is a different topic, the topic of forgiveness. But we have the topic of forgiveness at least introduced a little bit in the beginning of verse 31 when it comes to the subject of bitterness. All right, now just to give you a standard definition of what bitterness is, it's considered to be anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly, or perhaps after being severely violated. All right, and it's the resentment that is within a person because of these things. So you were treated unfairly, or you were extremely violated in some way. You have resentment and disappointment, and you have anger because of the way that somebody related to you. And so you have bitterness within you because of what you have suffered. All right, now the first thing I want to say when it comes to the topic of bitterness, of course, here in this context, if you find yourself having a deep sense of resentment, disappointment, and anger because of how somebody treated you, if that is present, then as the Lord does a work in your heart, maybe someday there will be a situation where you will feel some inspiration to not be as bitter towards this person as you once were. And so in the context of chapter 4, don't resist that. Just go ahead and not be as bitter as you once were. You're going to be okay. You know, that's what he says. Just go ahead and allow that to be a part of your life. Okay, so that's the first thing that I wanted to say as it relates to chapter 4. But let me go forward a little bit in the topic of bitterness. In doing that, I'd like to say that you may very well have a legitimate reason to be angry. You may have a legitimate reason to be disappointed, and you may have a legitimate reason to have a sense of resentment. That there's nothing wrong with being angry or being disappointed or having resentment in and of itself. There's nothing evil about that, especially when these situations are real situations. They will be a legitimate situation, unless, of course, you're living in your own fantasy, which I understand some people do. I've seen some people who just come up with a fantasy and then they get all lost in their fantasy and develop all kinds of bitterness and resentment. For the most part, they do that to try to hide from reality, but that's a different topic. In this case, let's just stay focused on the general situation where somebody has a legitimate concern that they have been violated, they have been wronged in some way, and we do not want to say that this person has a problem because they have a sense of bitterness. We don't want to say that there is now something wrong with them because they're bitter over what took place. Because if we do, well, then we can easily disregard them completely as a person. That's exactly how they're going to feel. They're going to feel like they are not even a person. They have no right to even exist. Because if they are told that they are evil because they feel bitter, they feel disappointed, they feel resentment, they feel anger over how they were violated, that just doesn't make any sense. Do you see that? I want you to see that. That in circumstances, which most of these circumstances are, where there is a legitimate violation, if the person is upset about it, don't tell them that there is something wrong with them because they're upset about it. So in verse 31, when Paul said, let go of bitterness, let all bitterness be put away from you, that's in the context of chapter 4 that on occasion, if you feel so inspired to let it go, then just let it go. Let it be put away from you. It doesn't mean make sure you put it away or God will punish you. You know, you think you were violated before? Well, you just wait, If you still have some resentment over how badly you were violated, well, God's going to come after you, and he's going to hurt you even more. And this is exactly what people get the sense of when they are told that their bitterness is an expression of sin. And so we have to be very careful with how we manage that and how we communicate that, because it can be very easy for someone to do who is in some position of authority in some religious context. It's easy for them to treat somebody else that way, especially when it has nothing to do with them personally at all, And it makes them sound so holy and so religious, and so awesome and so much in charge. And it makes them sound like they're God, telling you that you should do this because you are committing sin otherwise. And if you think you're disappointed at how you were violated before, well, don't worry. God's going to increase that. Yes, I have heard these kinds of messages communicated with my own ears in public settings as people have taught through this passage. And so I want you to be cautious when it comes to this and be a little sensitive about the fact that there are people who have been legitimately violated and we don't want to tell them there's something wrong with them because of that. On a personal level, in the relationships that people have with one another, this usually shows up when the person who has bitterness starts to form a new relationship with somebody else. And their bitterness gets in the way of forming a better relationship with this other person than what they would have been able to do otherwise. All right? It gets in the way of the other person benefiting more from the relationship that this bitter person is able to have with them. And so this is what happens. A person feels like they're really missing out, you know, because your bitterness, you know, if you're the bitter person, your bitterness is in the way of somebody like me, and I'm not benefiting from the closeness of the relationship that you and I could have in comparison with you letting go of this bitterness. You know, it's in the way, and I'm not benefiting as much as I would otherwise. And so this is exactly what people do to each other. Somebody like, you know, myself in this example, someone will then speak to or relate to the bitter person as if they are the person who has psychological problems. Okay? That's what happens. It happens when somebody is missing out on what they could have otherwise with the bitter person, and so they accuse the person of having psychological problems because of their bitterness. And you know, the bitterness can very well be legitimate. And yes, you know, it is in the way of the kind of relationship that they could have otherwise. But to say that there is something psychologically wrong, and of course they don't use those words, they use other words and phrases and different ways of communicating this, but the bitter person receives this, all right? They receive the idea that, okay, I've been severely violated and now I have psychological problems because I still have resentment over the violation that was done to me. That sounds even more unfair than the unfairness that I experienced that I have bitterness over. And that's the truth. It is more unfair in that sense. Okay, and so we need to be cautious when it comes to how we relate to other people and accept the fact that people are hurting, you know? They're angry, they're disappointed, they have resentment, and they don't have psychological problems because of that. That's just the reality of life, and certainly it would be better for them if they were able to work through those issues and if they were able to overcome those issues in a way that it would not interfere with their future relationships as much as it probably is. That, of course, would be a good thing. I don't want to say that that's a bad thing. You know, of course, that is something to work towards, to work forward in. But this, of course, is only going to happen as a person grows in their relationship with God, not their relationship with somebody else. And so I'm not legitimizing it. I'm just saying that a person should not be punished because of the way that they are managing, the way that they are handling the violations that they have personally experienced. And this happens a lot. It happens more often than I think people would like to admit. And I know why this isn't talked about very much is because those people who are very bitter, they tend to just go away and just leave the general population. They just check out, you know, they don't participate in the things of the church so much because they figure they're going to eventually get hit by some religious person who's going to put this on them and say that they have psychological problems because they don't like how they were violated. All right, now overcoming the issues related to bitterness has to do with the topic of forgiveness. That is how bitterness will be overcome. There is no other way. And of course, I have produced a series on the subject of forgiveness. You can find that in the Living God Ministries radio archive. And it's important to listen to all of the programs in that series in sequence. It's the last one where I speak about forgiving others as you have been forgiven. And that's also the next verse here in chapter 4. It comes right after verse 31. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave you. And so I'm going to save this subject for the next program, the subject of forgiveness. But that's how bitterness is overcome. It's overcome through a correct and proper understanding of the forgiveness that God has given to us and how that is incorporated in our lives, and then we will forgive others as we have been forgiven. Unfortunately, very few people have a good understanding of forgiveness. Most of the teaching with regards to forgiveness, most of what people believe concerning the topic of forgiveness, is quite distorted. And so you don't see bitterness overcome very often because of a lack of understanding, a lack of a correct understanding of the forgiveness of God. All right, so I'll save that for the next message. Let me move forward in verse 31 to wrath, anger. Well, now these were mentioned in verse 26. In verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, but in verse 31, he says, let go of wrath. Okay, now if we were to take this from a legal point of view, a legalistic point of view, we could look at verse 26 and we could say, all right, you can express your wrath until evening. You know, when there are three stars visible in the sky, the sun has officially gone down. And at that time, you are to no longer express any more wrath on this topic. So we could look at verse 31 from that perspective and say, all right, you know, let go of wrath, especially when the sun goes down, according to verse 26. You know, we could say that. We could go in that direction and say, you know, let it go. Make sure you let it go at that point. But honestly, I really think that the way that this is written, especially in verse 31, suggests that maybe you could let go of your wrath before the sun goes down, you know? And if you feel inspired to do that, if the wrath within you just isn't that strong, or it gets exhausted, you know, whatever it may be, or of course the Lord has done a work in your heart such that you just don't have it in you anymore to express as much wrath as you once would, well, then that's just fine, you know? Just let it go. You'll be okay. Okay, just let it go and not hang on to that wrath. Keeping an eye on the sun, making sure that you fill up the whole day, you know, with all of your wrath as much as you can, because you can until, you know, the sun goes down. That's not the way to live, all right? The way to live is to allow the Lord to do a work in our hearts so that someday, you know, we may not have it in us to express as much wrath as we probably would have before. And the same thing when it comes to anger. In verse 26, he says, be angry. You know, just go ahead. There's nothing inherently wrong with anger in and of itself. In verse 31, let it be put away from you, because there will be some changes within us such that our anger will dissipate and we won't have as much anger as we once had before. These are natural changes that happen through a person's relationship with their God. And I'll tell you exactly how this works. It comes from fear, as I explained when I was teaching on verse 26. It comes from fear. And the more that we trust our God, the more that we grow to know Him, the more that we understand what He is doing in this world and understand our participation in the work that He is doing, the less fear that we will have. Fear will dissipate and anger will go along with it. And let it go, all right? You know, just let it be put away from you as it is. You know, when the time comes, when you know that your normal reaction, your normal response would be to express a tremendous amount of anger as a consequence of the fear that is swelling up within you, if the fear has been resolved more through your relationship with God, then your anger is going to be reduced, and it's okay. Just let it be, you know? Let the anger go. Continuing into verse 31, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. All right, I'll just refer to both clamor and evil speaking. And that to me is open-ended and also self-explanatory. You know, I mean, why speak so much evil? Just let it go. Be focused on those things that are good, those things that God is occupied with, those things that will draw people closer to Him. Stay focused on those and you'll find that the evil speaking will be diminished just fine. And as it is, let it be put away from you. Okay, now malice is a little bit different, because malice has to do with the intention to do evil, or even just the desire to do evil, to exercise ill will against someone else. Let's just call it causing harm to someone else. Okay, I'm just going to make it simple and say that malice is a form of intentionally desiring to be evil and to really hurt somebody else, you know? Now, most of the time, people feel that they have a legitimate reason. You know, it could be because they were violated. It could be because they were seeking revenge. There are many different reasons why people will exercise malice. And if they don't feel like they have a good reason, well, they might just make one up in order to pretend that they're justified when in reality they're exercising malice for something that is completely unjustified. You know, it could be something as simple as somebody exposed just how nasty, wicked, and evil that person is, you know, and they don't like it. So they're going to exercise revenge because who they really are has been exposed. And so they're going to throw as much malice at this other person who has exposed them as can possibly be imagined. I've seen this happen a lot, and I don't think there's any shortage of people in the world who absolutely want this to be a part of their lives and the way that they relate to other people. Okay, now let me just start with the subject of healthy, functional relationships. Okay, when it comes to the topic of malice, I'll explain it this way, that there are healthy, functional relationships, and that these relationships that people have with one another, they are good. But, you know, it turns out that these kinds of relationships will require a lot of effort. It just is. It's harder to have a good relationship, a healthy, functional relationship, you know, the kind of relationship where people actually solve the problems of life together. They resolve the conflicts that take place between one another as they experience discomfort just because you've got another person in your life. You know, this is the normal thing. Having healthy, functional relationships is work. You know, it does require a tremendous amount of effort. But there will also be a very positive sense of success and accomplishment through this. You know, there will be a great sense of success and accomplishment when you have worked hard to form and maintain a healthy, functional relationship with somebody else. All right. And this is good, you know, to have that sense of success and accomplishment. But when these attempts at relationships fail, all right, when they fail, you're not going to have that sense of success and accomplishment. So this is what a lot of people do, and this, of course, is a very dysfunctional way to approach this situation. But there is no shortage of people who will react this way. When they fail to have a healthy, functional relationship with somebody else, then they will exercise the alternative of causing as much pain and suffering to the other person as they possibly can in order to feel a sense of success and accomplishment in hurting the other person. Okay, let me say that again. I know this is very dysfunctional, but I see this happen all the time. When a person fails to have a healthy, functional relationship with somebody else, what they will often default to is they will default to causing as much harm and pain and suffering to the other person in order to feel a sense of success and accomplishment because they were successful at exercising malice towards the other person. Now, in some cases, you could call this revenge. But in general, these are illegitimate expressions of violence, illegitimate expressions of malice, that they have no legitimate reasons whatsoever. It's just the fact that this person was not able to get what they wanted from this other person, and so they're going to hurt the other person because the person doesn't do or give whatever that the malicious person wants. And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.